Going to invite you to turn your pew Bible this morning to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 34. Now, we read this set of passages here. It's probably been six weeks ago. But then we're going to move into the book of John and the 2 Thessalonians. And I'm not sure how to, let me just lay it out this way to you. You're going to get a big dose of hell today. I'm just going to lay it out there for you. It's real. It's not an easy sermon, but I want you to filter through the eyes of a believer in Jesus Christ. Thankful that this is not where you get to go. And so I'm assuming that you're all believers in Christ and that you've given your life to Him. And if you haven't, you might feel a little heat today, literally, from that. And so you're going to learn about what this place is like and what God says in Scripture. And so I just pray that... And I'm going to use that word quite a bit. And so if you got young children in the pew, afterwards, if they go home and say, why did Pastor Rob swear so much today? I want you to correct them and teach them the word that's used. Because it is not a swear word, but it's described to describe the place that we're going to talk about today. All right, so Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Now, I'm going to use another word here today. Instead of agony, I'm going to put in another word, torment. So keep that in mind as I go through the message today. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is a parable that he shares with the people. And so keep that in mind as well. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Two verses out of here. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." And so we see a picture of judgment there, and then let's go to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9. Now I'm also going to read verse 8 to you, because it sets the stage of what you're going to hear in verse 9. "He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." The reading of the word of God this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this sermon today, I pray that you prepare our hearts to hear your word today. Lord, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. I pray for those that are gathered here in your sanctuary today, those that are at home listening online as well. Lord, may your Spirit open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and not mine. May you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have a story this morning for you. There was a believer that was on an airplane, and she brought out her Bible, and she began to read. And there was a very another person that came in and sat next to her, and very intellectual person, just smart beyond anything. And so he seen that, and he sneered at her. And he said to her, "Do you really believe that?" And she replied, "Yes, I do." And then he said to her, "What about Jonah and the whale? Do you believe that?" And she said, "Yes, but I don't understand it." And then he kind of sneered back at her. And he looked at her. And she said, "Well, excuse me." And then she said to him, "Well, I will find out when I get to heaven one day, and I'll ask Jonah." And the guy said, "Well, what if he's not there?" And then she said to her, "Then you're going to have to ask him then how he got that job done." Right? This is a topic that you and I do not like to talk about. It's not preached very often in churches today. And I think that might be part of the problem that we see today. This is a quote from Billy Graham that I have on the screen for you this morning. This is what Billy said. "If there was more hell in the pulpit, there would be less hell in the pew." Would you agree with that? If we understood the consequences of how we live our lives, maybe we'd change the way that we live and the things that we do. And so this morning, I'm going to go through different questions about the topic of hell with you, and we're going to answer some of these things. I don't know everything, and neither do you, neither does the Bible speak of it, but I will give you what I know, and that you can have a better understanding of this doctrine of hell. Now, if I had a choice, I would rather preach to you on heaven any day of the week, because those are the good things, the dessert of life for a believer. Those are joyful things, things to look forward to. But yet, the Lord says, preach the word of God. Preach the truth. Preach it in its entirety. Don't cut corners. Tell them the way it is. And so that's what I'll do with you this morning. Jesus spent more time with his people about explaining the dangers of hell than he ever did about the joy of heaven. And so we must take note of that as well. And so God has reserved punishment for unrepentant sinners in a place the Bible calls, and I'll give you several names, and I will use them throughout my message this morning. In Revelation, you'll see it called the Lake of Fire. A couple weeks ago, I gave a message to you. I used some Hebrew words and some Greek words, and we talked about the deep valley that's out the city of Jerusalem where they dumped their trash and the fire was burning. And I used two words there, Gehenna and Hinnom. Remember those? Other words that are used in Scripture to describe a place called hell. And so here's my first question for you this morning. Does the Bible describe hell as a literal place? Is it real? 70 times in the Gospels, Jesus warns us about a literal place called hell. And I'm going to throw a few verses out there. And so if you got your pen handy, start writing. Here's my first one. Psalm 9, verse 17, it says this. "The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God." It's a place that Jesus talks about. Daniel 12, verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." Those are the believers. "And some to shame and everlasting contempt." Those are the unbelievers that were spoken of in the book of Daniel. And I have one more. Revelation 20, verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We see how it's described. We see how it's talked about in Scripture. Hell is a literal place that Jesus spoke of in his parable of the rich man that he couldn't escape. You've seen that as I read that to you this morning. Jesus says that the lake of fire is a very literal and real place. Now, sadly, it's going to be a very large place as well. And so let me just share some figures with you this morning. You probably already read ahead and you see things on the screen. Throughout the world, 128 people die every minute. 7,653 per hour. Excuse me, I think that's supposed to be per second, by the way. 7,653 per hour. 183,761 people die every day in the world that you and I live in. Now, this is a rough number I'm going to give you this morning. Out of the 183,000 people who die every day, 70,000 of them have never heard the word or the name Jesus Christ. That's really sad, isn't it? And then, get this figure, I don't have a number for you today, that does not include those that have heard the word Jesus and those that have turned away from God, have said, nope, I don't want nothing to do with religion, but they know about it, they're aware of it. That's not even in that number. Only one-third of the people in the world today claim to be Christian or have heard the name Jesus Christ. So it is safe to say that there are a lot more people that will end up in hell than that will end up in heaven. That's why I preach to you every Sunday to tell your neighbor, bring them to church, invite them in, tell your coworker. Because what I'm going to share with you today is not easy news. And here's what the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Destruction is hell. That's what the Bible teaches. And many enter through it, is what it says. So you see a literal place. Let's jump to the next question. The lake of fire, or hell, is an eternal, everlasting place. Matthew 25, verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. People who end up here, they'll be there forever. There's no getting out. There's no going back. It is a one-way ticket when you go there. And it is eternal punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? Those who do not follow Jesus Christ. How long is eternity? Right? That's a good question. You can't even get your mind around that, can you? Eternity's forever. That's a long, long, long time, isn't it? Eternal punishment. You know, people suffer here in great ways upon this earth. But I think our earthly suffering will not compare with the sufferings of hell. I think there'll be way worse there. The Bible tells us only what being in hell is like. It does not explicitly say what hell is, or what it looks like, or how it's exactly going to function. But we know that it is an eternal place without end. And if you want to join me for Sunday school this morning, we're going to go into a deeper theology about that question this morning. So let's go to our next one. What will hell be like? Let's kind of get a description from the Bible here this morning. Here we go. Revelation 14, verse 11. So let me set the stage of what this will be like. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name. Now, the mark is not a literal mark. The mark means that it's a person who decided not to follow Christ and has chosen to be the ways of the world. Right? That's what that means. But torment is a word that's used to describe hell. How many of you have been tormented by something in your life? Something that keeps you up at night. You ever had that? Mental anguish? How about you get a cut or a bruise or a burn, or you get into an accident and you break an arm and a leg, and you're just tormented because you have this injury that takes a while to heal. Have you ever had that? How many of you enjoy torment? Not one of us do they? We don't like it. And that's what I want to describe to you this morning. This rich man in Hades said, I am in torment in this flame. How many of you ever felt or have been burned in your life? Right? Just a couple of you? All right. I know you strike a match and sometimes you get a little too close with your fingers and you feel that all day, don't you? Or if you get a burn, you're out doing something and something happens and you get a burn on your hand or wherever, you feel that for quite some time, don't you? Well, this rich man, he didn't like it. It was terrible. He wanted to warn his brothers, don't end up here. And Jesus uses other words to describe hell as well. Mark 9, verse 48, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. How many of you in the summertime, how many of you enjoy maggots? That's kind of a gross thing, isn't it? Well, another word that the Bible uses for worm is the word maggot, right? We know that maggots in the world that you and I live in, they feed on dead things, don't they? Dead raccoon, a dead, if you're a farmer, maybe a dead animal on your yard in the summertime. There's a verse that describes the torment that does not die, the maggot that does not die, that ravages the soul in hell. It gives you a picture of torment and anguish and just not a very good scene. Hades is also a place of separation from God. God's presence will not be there. In hell, the sun will never shine. In hell, the grass will never grow. The flowers that you see and experience today will never blossom. It's a place of total outer darkness. And when we use the word outer, it means away from God, away from the Holy Spirit and the control that we see today in the world that you and I live in. We live in a very balanced world. You might not think so with everything you see going on today, but let me tell you what, it is a far cry better than what hell will be like without the presence of God in it. Evil will flourish. Evil will be nasty. It'll be something that you don't want to experience ever. Hell is also a place of eternal thirst. The rich man prayed, "Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in torment in this flame." You know, and you look at that verse and you read it and you start to pick it apart. Here's a few highlights I want you to see. What was he tormented with? He was tormented by the flame. I told you about the burn. He was tormented by unquenched thirst that could not be met. And he also was tormented in his memory when they said, "Remember this." When Abraham said that, "You received your good things." We'll talk about more of that in just a minute. And he's also tormented by the concern of his family. "Go tell my brothers that are still alive. Don't let them come here." And so we see the torment in many, many ways, not only physical, but mentally as well. Hell is also a place of enduring sorrow. In hell, there will be no laughing. In hell, there will be no smiles. There will be no hymns to sing or joyous songs. Everybody shut up in the depths of despair. Matthew 25, verse 51. You've probably heard this verse quite often. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What kind of image does that put in your mind this morning of what this place will be like? Right? You know, I think it means that there will be unutterable horrors in hell that this earth has never seen. You think you've seen bad stuff maybe, but we haven't. There's more stuff that's worse than what we've experienced or maybe seen on television, whatever it might be. Now let me jump to that verse. One of the horrors of hell is that the undying memory of a misspent life is evident. Luke 16, verse 25. "But Abraham replied, 'Son," right? "Remember that in your lifetime you received the good things." And the good things that he's talking about is that you pursued the things of this earth, fame and glory and wealth and possessions and whatever it might be, is what he says to the rich man. "Your heart went after the wrong things," is what he tells him. And now he's regretting what he did. He's looking back and seeing how he made the wrong choices. And I think that's part of the torment of hell, is that you can look back on your life with all kinds of regret, missed opportunities, part of what we'll experience for someone who will go there. Hell is also an eternal, hopeless place. Did you know that you cannot live without hope? How many of you... And I don't want you to raise your hand here this morning or anything like that, but how many of you have found your place where you might be depressed? Or maybe you've fallen into depression and you get this sense of just hopelessness. This is never going to end. This is never going to get any better. And yet God restores, doesn't he, here on earth. We pray for people that end up in those types of situations. But God says that hell is going to be a hopeless place. Hopeless. Hopeless. Hell is also a place of eternal separation. Overwhelming loneliness. I believe that hell will be a place that you will be totally alone, except for Satan and his demons. And that those demons will torment you the rest of your eternal life. You know, some people just kind of brush it off. Some people think that hell's a place of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and we're just going to have a good time down there together. I don't think there's going to be a together. I think there's going to be a place of alone, by yourself. It's not a place where you're going to meet up with your drinking buddies and hang out. You hear that comment once in a while too. We'll all be together down there just ripping it up. No, don't use the word together. The word alone is used often in Scripture of a place like hell. That's your description. That's not a... how many feel good about that today? I mean, I don't, right? And I'm sure you don't either. But then let's talk about who goes there. That's a big question to answer this morning, and you know the answer, right? Anyone who rejects Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the simple answer of those who end up there. John 3, verse 36 on the bottom of your screen this morning. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's the believers. Amen to that, right? That's the joyous thing we hold on to. But then it goes on to say this. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. That talks about the people that rejected God, turned away from Him, never heard of Him. They end up in hell. That's what sends people to hell. You know, God does not send people to hell. Sin sends people to hell. Remember that. We serve a just God. A just God means that God's going to do what's right. If you reject Him and you choose not to follow Him, He's going to let you go to that place. But He's also a grace-filled God, a loving God, that when we come to Him with a repentant heart, like we did earlier, and we pray and we ask for forgiveness, He listens and He hears and He forgives. And through Jesus Christ, you're given that eternal life in heaven. Amen to that. That's what it's about. Sin sends people to hell, not God. We have a just God. We have a great God. But everybody wants it on their terms, don't they? That's not how God works. God said, these are my terms. You decide to follow. You get to make that choice. There's a few more things I want you to think about this morning. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says that you'll be cast into the fire. All right, so if you're sitting here this morning and you're on the fence about, you know, do I want to follow Jesus? You know, I haven't fully committed yet and I'm wondering what to do. Let me just, maybe this will rattle your cage this morning just a little bit. And I do not want to present this in a way that you go there because of fear. I want you to seek Jesus in your heart because you have a love for Him. I want the Spirit to be alive in you. I want it to change who you are. I read you a verse earlier when we prayed for forgiveness of sins. I said the old has gone and the new has come. Right? That's what I pray for you this morning. If you're not in the realms of Jesus Christ, that the new will come to your soul, to your spirits. And let me just say, I got a few lines I want to just rattle you with here this morning. There will be lost church members in hell. The religious, but not the regenerate. See, there's a difference. You can come and play by all the rules, but if your heart's not right with Christ, what good does that do? Right? You can come to church and make it look good for mom and dad, but what good does that do? That's what that line says. You can have a baptismal certificate, but if you don't have a new life in Christ, what good does that baptismal certificate do? Sometimes we think we baptize our children. Oh, they're saved. We're done doing our job. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that at some point, that person needs to reach back to Christ and give their life. That's why you got to have them in church and in Sunday school, and you got to teach them God's ways. Yes. That's real. Some of you think you can baptize your children and we're good to go. No, you're not. Some of you are cringing right now. That's what you need to hear. What do you have to do? What's God calling me to? You know, there will be people whose names are written in the church books, but not in the Lamb's book. And that's what's important. I got a verse that goes with that. Matthew 7, verse 22 through 23. These are kind of hard verses to hear too, by the way. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform miracles? And then Jesus says, I'm going to tell them plainly what I thought. I never knew you. You had nothing to do with me. You did it for all the wrong reasons. Away from me, you evildoers, is what he'll say. Away from me. So here's a question that I want to end with today. So how do we avoid going to hell, right? Don't just come to church because it's the right thing to do. Don't come. I've heard people say this to me. I hope I'm good enough. You're never going to be good enough. That's me too. I mean, you come with sin, right? Whether you know it or not, I don't care how righteous you are, how good you are, right? We all fall short. It's about a belief in Jesus Christ that gets you and I to heaven. It keeps us out of hell. It's having a personal relationship with Christ that gets you there. And so I'm going to ask you the simple question this morning. Do you know him? Or are you like the rich man who's pursuing all the wrong things in your life? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? That's how you avoid hell. It's that simple. God sends no one to hell. Sin does. And so if you're out there this morning, and I've been preaching at you this morning, you're thinking, boy, God is just dumping it on me today. This is what I want to share with you. The verse that's on the screen comes out of the book of Revelation. It is a good one, by the way. I love this verse. Revelation 3, verse 20. It says this, here I am. This is Jesus speaking to you now. I stand at the door and I knock. That's the spirit that's stirring inside of you saying, come follow me. Give your life to Christ is what that says. Right? And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that means that you say, I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to be in heaven one day. And Jesus says, I'll come in. I will eat with that person. I will live with that person the rest of their life. And by the way, that means beyond this life here on earth. That's eternally. You get to have that the moment you give your life to Christ. You see, some of you think, well, I'm going to die someday. You are physically, but spiritually, you're never going to die. Amen to that, right? That's what it's about. The rich man knew why he was in hell. He figured it out. He pursued the good things of the earth, which you talked about, not the things of God. He didn't turn from his sin and repent. I'm going to share one last thing that I think hell will be like with you this morning. One of the punishments for this rich man was that he could see back into heaven. What would that look like for you to be there and see believers joyous, praising God, unreal, and to be where they're at? We see that picture when he can see Lazarus, right, by Abraham's side, and he says to him, send him with some water, I'm in torment. See, we get that picture. You know, I don't know theologically if that's even going to be possible, but could that be possible that God would open a one-way window from hell to heaven and they could see what they missed? I wonder. I can't answer that. But I don't want you to experience that one-way window either. But you wonder, because the Bible talks about that, that it could see into heaven. Let me finish with this last statement. The reality of hell should drive you and I to Jesus Christ. And I hope that does today. Don't leave here in the dumps. Don't leave here thinking, man, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to make it, because that's not what Jesus says. He says, come to me the way you are, broken, a sinner, and I'll forgive you. That's what he says. So when you leave here today, do a little check. Where are you at in your faith life? I think I started my message, this sermon series, with that exact question, didn't I? Where are you at? That's what we need to ask ourselves. All right? Rejoice today, because you're here. You're in his sanctuary. That's good. That's to be praised. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a heavy sermon today. We don't like to hear about hell and what it could be like and the way the Bible describes it, Lord. It's a place that we just don't want to be. We are thankful for Jesus Christ that we have salvation, Lord, that we have eternal life with you. Lord, may we rejoice in that. Lord, I also pray today for maybe somebody sitting in the sanctuary, maybe somebody that's online watching. They're not sure if they have salvation. I pray, Lord, that you move them in a way within their heart and their soul, that they seek help, or that you just flood their life with your spirit in such a way that they know that they have salvation through Jesus Christ. May they come to know you. Lord, we gather to be filled, to be able to go out in the mission field. Lord, our job is to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, our job is to keep people out of hell. Lord, do we know that you go before us and that it's your work that brings salvation, but you call us to be a part of that. So may we be willing to have those conversations with our loved ones, our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors, friends. Lord, and maybe even that son or daughter that's gone astray. Lord, I pray for that today. Or a parent that has maybe gone astray. Or a brother or sister that's going in the wrong direction. Lord, I pray for those individuals today. Lord, may they see the light. May they see your goodness, your richness, your love. Lord, may you pour over us today with your spirit. May you fill our weary souls as you heard this message today. In Jesus I pray, amen.